I move this thing out of the way, but before we leave the land of singing, I would like for you just to grab a pen or use your bulletin or whatever. Write a lyric down that really stuck out to you in today's worship. Today was one of those moments that's kind of rare where the preacher does not talk to the worship pastor or minister and everything just lines up. It was sweet. This morning we sang, all the earth will sing your praises. Maybe that was some verse from that. May the words of my mouth. How marvelous, that's mine. Great opening verse in that thing. This I believe. Praises be lifted up. Just jot something down today that stuck out to you so that you can dwell in that as well. Today we're in Colossians, and I was reminded in between services today that there are some folks that sit with us that have never opened a Bible in their lives that aren't Bible scholars. So let me help you. It's about there. It's somewhere in between Romans and Hebrews. If you get to Hebrews, you went too far. Colossians 2 today. While you're turning there, I wanted to, the teacher in me always says review is a good thing. So before we get to Colossians 2, 8 through 15, I wanted to remind us about Gary's sermon from last week. He preached on the fact that, if you can remember, what were the main points? Christ is the only one who can save and redeem you. It's just that simple. And that if you want to make an impact, if you want to make a difference in this life, you have to be willing to suffer, willing to serve, keep the main thing the main thing. And whatever you do and say, it has to be your labor and his power. And you have to seek to establish others in Christ with everything you do and say. Before I get too far down the road today, let me pray, and then we'll read today's scripture. Father, thank you so much for giving us the opportunity to gather together. To gather together boldly, to gather together in your name, to be able to open your word fully. Help us to do so wisely in honor of the efforts of those around the world who cannot today. Father, we thank you for your love and kindness and generosity in our lives. Help us to understand about Christ living in us. What a gigantic thought that is for us to wrap our minds around. Help us to be able to witness to those around us. In your name, amen. So chapter 2, verse 8 through 15 reads like this. See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception according to the traditions of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ. For in him all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form, and in him you have been made complete. And he is the head over all rule and authority. And in him you were also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, in the removal of the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised up with him through faith in working of God, who raised him from the dead. When you were dead in your transgressions and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, he made you alive together with him, having forgiven us all our transgressions, having canceled out the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us, which was hostile to us. And he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. When he disarmed the rulers and authorities, he made a public display of them, having triumphed over them through him. Paul is writing to a church of people he has never met. As a matter of fact, he feels a certain level of kinship to them because more than likely, Paul's disciple Epaphras was the one who started the church in Colossae. And if you remember, a couple weeks back, Pastor Gary had that map for us and showed us where Colossae was, right? It was on that major trade route. Well, being along that major trade route meant the abundant opportunity for heresy to creep in. And what we get is the Colossian heresy. And that is a heresy that mixes in Jewish tradition, Greek philosophical thought, and a certain level of mysticism from the Orient. So you kind of guess that's why, because they're on that major trade route, right? There's all sorts of visitors stopping in. And this heresy diminishes who Christ is and what he has done for you and me. And it elevates philosophy and Jewish tradition and angel worship and really stressed exclusivity through secrecy and superiority. Because when you have a secret, you have power, right? You got a secret, you got a certain level of power. Most of us who have mysteries in our lives, mystery is what's the closest connection most of us have? That'd be the Scooby-Doo gang, right? I mean, who didn't want to be in the mystery van? Those meddling kids always solving mysteries, right? Always. Helping people around the community by taking out the guy in the weird mask and he'd been eating all the fried chicken in town or whatever. When you, having a secret, though, gives you a certain level of power over people, doesn't it? Right? Because, I mean, just look at it when you think you've got a secret and then turns out the thing or the person who has, you know, you have the secret over knows. Oh, I knew that already. Oh. You physically get let down like you don't have anything, right?
I thought I had something, but I don't got nothing.
You know, here's the deal. Paul was all about telling people this secret, telling people the mystery of God. As long as you would stand still long enough, he would tell you his secret, right? Now, so unlike Paul, this is going to sound terrible to say, but you don't tell Pastor Jason a secret. Now, as I've become a pastor, I've had to learn how to keep my mouth shut, right? But, you know, back in the day, you couldn't tell me nothing. There was a birthday surprise. I have what the Ritzes call flappy head. I didn't know. Oh, do you know what we're doing for your birthday? Oh, my gosh. It's going to be amazing. Don't tell me. Let me be surprised. If we're throwing a surprise party for Gary, don't let me know. Let me be as surprised as he is. Paul had flappy head. If someone would stand still long enough, he'd tell them about Jesus in them. Jesus at work in them. That Christ is alive in you and works through you. In essence, giving away all of his power, which, if you think about it, if the Lord has infinite power to give, man, you're always constantly full, able to give away more. And he is empowering the people he's telling. He's empowering people who are, frankly, ignorant. He's giving them the power to life eternal. How amazing is that? And that Christ is in operation inside you and me. That is a massive, massive concept for us to grasp and wrap our head around. It's like for a decade, I had a little picture of a baby. And he'd be like, suck all the oxygen out of the room, right? I was going to use it today, but then I realized Mike was leading worship, and Mike is the greatest encourager ever. If you ever have a moment to have coffee with Mike, Leon, do it. Doesn't matter what's going on. He's like, oh, man, that's going to be great. You're going to be great no matter what happens. Like, it's, I love hanging out with Mike because he's such a Barnabas. He's such an encourager. And I think it's because he wakes up on a fairly regular morning going, oh, Christ is at work in me? Oh, what? Sorry, that was a little loud. But that's how excited we should get. That's how excited we should be to operate. Now, don't get me wrong. Yes, we all go through troubled times in our life, right? Sometimes it's about you directly. Sometimes it's stuff that happens around you. Frankly, the Ritzes are dealing with that right now. But you know what? We do not despair like people who don't know Jesus. Yeah, we might be sad. We might be a little discouraged. But we have a hope that lives inside us. We can be sad and hopeful all in the same moment. If we just allow ourselves the second to stop and go, oh, no, wait, Jesus still loves me. Jesus is still at work in me. Jesus is still developing my character so I can help the people around me. That's incredible to think about. The master of the universe is at work in you, even in spite of you at times. Parents, how many times have we said, ah, it's just developing your character? Tim is about ready to leave, and I'm sure he's going to be happy not to hear that anymore. Amen. It's just developing our character. So I got to fill in the pulpit this week. The truth be told, I'm about to preach again on the 28th, which was scheduled. And this sermon happens to be a little bit of a preview of that sermon. They kind of mesh together. The book of Colossians is a book about Paul telling a people he doesn't know to be full of wisdom and knowledge, true wisdom, true knowledge about the mystery of God, Christ in you. I mean, don't raise your hand, but who's read the whole book of Colossians since we started preaching on it? Read it. It's 3 pages. It'll take you 10 minutes. I know some of you will wait 10 minutes waiting on lunch today. But the whole book is chock full of having true wisdom, true knowledge over and over and over again about the mystery of God, Christ in you. Verse 8, Paul writes, "See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception according to the tradition of men and according to the elementary principles of the world rather than according to Christ." He says that to further drive home the point from verse 4. If you just back up a little bit, it says, "I say this so that no one will delude you with a persuasive argument." Well, what's the this? Verses 2 and 3. "That their hearts may be encouraged, having been knit together in love and attaining all the wealth that comes from the full assurance of understanding, resulting in a true knowledge of God's mystery, that is Christ himself, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." I want you to come away encouraged today with the true knowledge and wisdom of Christ in you. Whatever it is, whether it's a joyful moment you're having or a terrible moment in life you're having, or maybe, hey, man, I just woke up and I'm here today. Whatever it is, be encouraged that Christ is at work in you. That, man, Jason, I don't know what to do. Well, read your Bible. Why? All knowledge and wisdom. All knowledge. You don't have to go anywhere else. No Oprah. No, she's out of vogue now. The View. Does anyone go to The View for knowledge and wisdom? I doubt it. Wherever people go for knowledge and wisdom now, go to the scripture. Stop taking shortcuts. Stop taking shortcuts. Paul doesn't want anyone to be distracted, and neither do I, away from all the treasures and knowledge of wisdom that are found in Christ. I mean, I need you to understand how Paul viewed these people he didn't know. And if we read with a little bit of inference here in chapter 1 and 2, we understand. Chapter 1, verses 3 through 8, we find out that they have a faith in Christ, a love for the saints, a hope that is understood. That hope is bearing fruit and is increasing in measure. They understand the grace of God. Chapter 2, verses 5 through 7, that they are a good discipline and have a stability in their faith. They're firmly rooted and being built up in Christ. They're established in the faith. I mean, I'm not trying to be conceited, but it sounds like a bunch of us, right? I mean, I'm not trying to throw us under the bus and say we're terrible people, and nor am I saying that we are spiritual giants either. But that could be used to define very many people here at Grace Church. But then, as evident from the second half of Colossians and on, about middle of chapter 2 and the rest of the way, they are either beginning to, or Paul is afraid that they might slip into this Colossian heresy. And he is giving them a warning to stick to the high Christology that he unloads and unpacks in chapter 1.
Oh, Jason, what's Christology? I don't understand what that is.
That is just a better understanding of who Christ is, what he does, and what his sacrifice paved the way for us for eternity, and that comparatively speaking, everything else pales in comparison. Paul puts Christ on a pedestal wicked high, and that's good. That is right. That is something we should aim for, shoot for, and aspire to, and understand we ain't never getting there. We will never be perfect, and that is okay. But what is going on? Christ has died for our eternal salvation and so that we will emulate him here on earth, so that we can learn to be more like him and we would allow our hearts to be conformed more into his image. We've got a whole life to practice. Praise Jesus, because I need about as much practice as anybody. In chapter 2, verse 6, it says, "Therefore, as you have received Christ as Lord, so walk in him." On our scripture reading this morning, in verses 9 and following, it's just a discourse of what you get when you accept Jesus into your heart. Verse 9, "For in him all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form, and in him you have been made complete, and he is head over all rule and authority, and in him you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands and the removal of the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised up with him through faith in the working of God, who raised Christ from the dead." I mean, really, you've got that living in you. Stop for a moment. What does that mean? What does that mean for you? What does that mean for your love for your neighbor? What does that mean for how you interact with crazy Uncle Bob who comes over for Thanksgiving and you see once a year and he gives you a headache? What does that mean? If you woke up every morning going, Jesus lives in me. I want a big picture of Mike's face. Just walk around with it. Do you know? Do you get that Jesus lives in you? I want you to be encouraged this morning. Man, all his power, divinity, his love, his righteousness, it's there for us to tap into, and we'll never tap into it enough. Gonna be amazing. In him, we are complete. You ever feel like you're not complete? In him, we are complete. So when we're suffering hardship, or maybe we're serving to the nth degree, or we're trying to work or disciple fallible people, who in here isn't fallible? Raise your hand higher than mine, that you are perfect in every way, shape, or form. I saw grandma right now trying to pass off. Hey, grandkid, guess what? No, we're all fallible. We're all fallible. We all have to have grace and compassion with one another, right? But when we are serving and working alongside and discipling fallible people, it's not uncommon for us to lose heart. Oh, just can't do it anymore. And we start seeking out answers that are easy, that are short, quick fixes, the answers of man or the world, when really we should be driving back to here. Driving back to the simplicity of the cross. Because searching the Bible, I get it. Searching the Bible is a daunting task. There's a lot in there, people. There's a lot in there.
I don't know what I'm supposed to do. Where do I go?
Book of Concordances. Ask a friend. Sometimes what Bible stories we know, we're so familiar with them, we think we know them, and it doesn't apply to my situation. When maybe in reality, if we sat and read the story again, it would. But because we learned it on a flannel graph when we were like 5 and 6, we think we know it. See, the unfortunate truth is that many of us do not interface with the Bible as much as we should. I see it come across my desk all the time. I ask them, like, hey, how's your spiritual walk going? How's your spiritual journey with Christ? How's your spiritual time? How's your quiet time? And inevitably, I get 99.9% of the time, whether they're having a tough go at it or they're having a really good go at it, 99% of the time, I pray a lot. Oh, I trust the Lord with everything. No. Tell me, what are you learning? I asked the follow-up question. Tell me what you're learning in your reading. Tell me, what are you getting out of Scripture? Oh, I haven't read lately. Let me encourage you, read. That's difficult to hear. I get it, because, you know, I got a Doug Del Bosco. You give Doug a book, and he will devour it in an afternoon. I am not that guy. Reading is tough, right? Reading's hard. I'm the guy, you give me a novel, it had better have a good cover. I judge books by their cover. This one's pretty bland, but it's the Bible, and so it's good. But it's a reading faith. As much as we don't want to hear it, much of Christianity is a reading faith. Now, if you've heard me sermonize at all in 3 years, you know that I'm the first person to tell you, have an active faith. Get out there, do words and deed, right? I'm that guy. Let me help you serve, right? I'm that guy. I'm the first person to say, have an active faith. But an active faith has to have a connection to the Holy Spirit so that it can be stepping in step with Scripture. If it's not lined up with Scripture, what you're doing is just spinning your wheels. I don't want you spinning your wheels. Ain't nobody got time for that. I don't want you spinning your wheels. I want it to be in line with what you're doing is in line with Scripture. Well, what's the only way you can find out if it's in line with Scripture? You have to read the book, right? We have to read. Be more diligent. It's the only way you'll know what it has to say. And persevere, brothers and sisters. Seriously, I get it. It's March. Maybe you thought yourself in January, I'm going to read the Bible this year. And now here it is in March, and you haven't picked up your Bible in like 3 weeks. It's been a rough 2019, y'all, I'm not going to lie. But you get what I'm saying? It's like, get back in there. Wherever it is, just get back in. Read. Because I tell you what, you, me, young, old, rich, poor, whatever, we are all ensconced in spiritual warfare. Every last one of us. I don't care if you're having a a terrible time in life, and people can go, oh, well, there are actually is also obviously spiritual warfare. Well, yeah, but so are you, Mr. I'm doing it fine and not really leaning on Jesus. We're all ensconced in spiritual warfare, every single last one of us. And when you look at the mind, it's like one of those battlefields that Satan is always trying to get ground. He's always trying to gain ground in your brain. Do not let him have a foothold. Do not give him an inch of ground. Spiritual warfare. Turn to Ephesians 6 and you get the armor of God, right? We all learn it when we're in VBS and Awana. We all learn about the armor of God, right? When we look down at the very bottom of the armor of God, he says, and add to what you're already doing, shield of faith, helmet of salvation, and the sword of spirit. Add to your arsenal. It's got to start with faith. Have faith. That's the difficult thing. In good or bad times, have faith. And then he gives you the helmet of salvation. Now, earlier I had the Davidson grandchildren in here. Football player. Any football players in here? Do I have any football players? What's a helmet do? What's a helmet do? It protects your noggin. Protects your noggin. It's not meant so that you can spear the other opponent. A helmet's there for you to keep this intact. To keep your mind intact. Put it on. Understand what Christ has done for you. Understand what the salvation experience really means, that Christ is now at work in you, through you. Where's my Mike Leon face? It should excite you. Oh man, I got the rest of my life to figure this out. Because that's a pretty big thought. But think how great a defense your mind would have as if you woke up to that reality, that Christ is alive in you every morning. You would go food shopping in a totally different way, wouldn't you? That line at the Safeway would no longer irritate you as much as it might. I know it irritates the junk out of me. Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. That's a great verse. We can go on for days, but we won't. Verse 2, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. You need to renew your mind. Transform who you are in the renewing of your mind. Do not let Satan have a foothold, not an inch of ground. And I get it. I get it. Some of you are like, well, Jason, I'm a little too old to bother remember anything anymore. Lies. You can remember stuff. Now, yeah, you might call your children all the wrong names. I get that. But let's face it, they all frustrate us, right? They all frustrate you one more time. No, but you can remember stuff. You can memorize things. Way back in the day, back when I was younger and had time on my hands, Chad Hill and I, some of you know Chad, we were going to Sacramento, and for some weird reason, we decided to get it in our heads that with the new international version and the New Testament, we would find every verse that was 10 words or less. Because we were too stupid to try to remember all more words than 10. We could write a word on every finger and start memorizing scripture. Folks, there is simplicity. If you're looking for simple answers, they are here. They are here. There are, in the New International Version, there's 130 verses that are 10 words or less. Oh, Jesus wept. Yes, that's one of them. More than half of them have to do with spiritual discipline. You want simple answers? Drive to the scripture. It's there for you. You have it all. I would tell you, be engaged as you read your Bible. There's an assumption there. A, you're reading your Bible. But B, actively look and listen for the Spirit to help you understand the words you're reading and how it should impact your life and how Christ is trying to develop your character. Be willing to talk to people about what you're learning. Ask questions. You never know. What you read this morning might not even be for you.
Oh, I just read a chapter and a half. I spent an hour. Nothing. I spent a half an hour. Nothing. I spent 5 minutes. Nothing. Oh, what a waste of time.
And then you go to lunch with someone, and lo and behold, they're struggling with something that you just read about. Drive them to Christ. Help establish them in Christ. And determine to make an effort ahead of time to abide and dwell in what you read. Make a little note, a little post-it, a little 3x5 card, stick it somewhere where you can see it. It doesn't even have to be a whole verse you have to write out. Just one word will help you remember that verse. Dwell in the word of the Lord. Abide in it. Rest. Gain peace and strength. Charles Spurgeon has a great quote. It says, "You may read the Bible continuously and yet never learn anything by it unless it is illuminated by the Spirit. Then the words shine forth like stars. Then the book seems made of gold leaf. Every single letter glitters like a diamond. Oh, it is a blessed thing to read an illuminated Bible, lit up by the radiance of the Holy Spirit. Have you read the Bible and yet have your eyes been unenlightened? Go and say, 'Oh Lord, illuminate it and shine upon it, for I cannot read it to profit unless you enlighten me.'" I love this bit. "Blind men may read the Bible with their fingers, but blind souls cannot." We need a light to read the Bible by. There is no reading it in the dark. Seek out the Spirit as you sit with the Word and listen for Him. Learn to rightly handle the fact that for in Him all fullness and deity dwells in bodily form, and in Him you have been made complete. This is verse 9. "And He is the head over all rule and authority. In Him you were also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, and the removal of the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, His work, having been buried with Him in baptism, in which you were also raised up with Him through faith in the working of God who raised Him from the dead." That is difficult to comprehend, but not impossible. Seek answers from Him. And stop being afraid to talk spiritually with folks. So many of us are just so frightened just to say, "Hey, this is what I'm reading in my Bible. Hey, I'd love to know what you're learning." This is how we build one another up. This is how we strengthen one another. Back to back with the sword of the Spirit, fending off the evil that is descending upon ourselves, our friends, and our community. As the guys make their way down for communion, I want to conclude with this. Gary had this title for this sermon, "The Philosophies That Captivate." When you stop to consider the ramifications of the mystery of God that is Christ in us, how can we be captivated to abide in anything else? How can we be captivated by anything else? There's a lot to be captivated by. Christ in us. That's a lifetime. He is in us. He is alive in us. His divinity, His righteousness, His authority. We are made complete in Him, and I want you to walk away encouraged. Verse 13 says, "When you were dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, He made you alive together with Him, having forgiven us all our transgressions, having canceled out the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us, which was hostile to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. And that's what we're remembering here this morning in communion. It's this work of his on the cross. Remember what he's done for you. As we pass the plates of elements, remember what he's done for you specifically. Remember the sins that you no longer stand indebted to in eternity. Remember that before his enduring work on the cross, you were dead. But now you are made alive in Christ. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this opportunity to remember the work of your cross, the price that you paid, that it endures, this effort, it even endures today. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for having grace and mercy in our lives. Do this in the remembrance of his enduring love for you. this in remembrance of his enduring grace and mercy in your life. Stand with me as we pray. Father, thank you again for your love and grace and mercy in our lives. Help us to be good stewards of those three things. Help us to impact the community around us. Help us to love on our neighbors. Help us to be friendly with those of us, even around us, even now. Lord, we love you. We thank you for your Son, Jesus. Thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit. In your name, amen. Go in his grace and his peace this afternoon. Enjoy the day.